Welcome to Season 2 of the Excel Podcast. Join your host, Kevin Selwood, as he talks to a variety of people with useful and interesting things to say about all things to do with instructing and driver training. Throughout the series, there will be a mixture of local personalities from the driver training industry, Exeter and Torbay areas, as well as nationally acclaimed trainers. Episodes include informative discussions regarding all aspects of running your business, as well as opportunities to find out a bit more about each interviewee. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this latest episode of the Excel podcast. And thanks very much for tuning in and listening whenever and wherever you are. With me today is somebody who I actually gave me a lot of helpful advice when I first started out doing this, looking at it almost a year ago now. And normally when I do these podcasts, certainly the first ones when I had some of the local people on, and some of you were telling me how nervous you were about doing this. Well, I think the boot's very firmly on the other foot today, because I have what I call le grand fromage of driving instructor podcasters. For those of you whose Spanish is a little bit weak, that's the big cheese. Somebody whose podcast is widely acknowledged as one of, if not the very best of the driving instructor podcasts. So I am very pleased, honoured, privileged to be able to welcome today Terry Cook from the Instructor Podcast. Hi, Terry.
I mean, that's not much to live up to now, is it? I think we need to just stop recording and just leave it at that, because it's all downhill from here, I'm afraid.
Well, you know, I've got another pressure point for you, because you start yours off with asking people, are they, you know, I can't remember them all now, innovators, game changers? Come on, help me out with the others.
Leaders, experts, innovators, and game changers.
All right, I'll come on. Which of those are you?
Oh, no. Well, first of all, I'll just say hello, Kevin. It's great to be on your podcast, actually. It's one that I listen to. So,
golly. Talk about pressure.
Leaders, expert, innovators, and game changers. Well, I, humbly class myself as a bit of each. I am not someone that will go out of my way to praise myself, but I am my own biggest critic. But I also try and be honest and impartial. So in terms of expertise, I think that I've spent a lot of time. I've spent sort of over 2 years in the podcasting game now, and it's not just I don't just do a podcast. I consider myself a podcaster. You know, I've got a variety of podcasts out there, and I spent a lot of time looking at things around that. So there's definitely some expertise there. In terms of leader, well, I think that I have got an awful lot of listeners to the podcast, as you mentioned. I've got people following my premium subscription. So there's definitely some leadership going on there. Innovator, this is probably the one where I'll maybe say the least innovative, perhaps, because I think that there was already podcasts in our industry. You know, there's already a lot of training and variety of training in our industry, but I think what I've done is I've tweaked it a lot. So maybe innovation, maybe not quite so much, but I've definitely tweaked stuff. Yeah. And in terms of game changing, oh God, this is the one that feels really pompous when I say it, but I do. I think I've changed the game a little bit in terms of the industry podcasts and in terms of the way some of the training is being delivered. And that's me being humble. So there you go.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with any of that. And I think very much, I'd say even more positively, that all four of those all apply to you, the way that things have moved on over the last couple of years. Let's go back then and just give us your timeline, as it were, as how you've got to where you are now.
Well, I won't bore you with all the stuff before I became an instructor. It was a lot of variety, a lot of mishmash of jobs, and a lot of bad life choices. But it was back in 2016 I started my training with a national driving school, qualified in 2017, and it was 2018 I started doing a lot of personal and professional development. on me, essentially making, oh, I hate this phrase, but I can't think of another one, making myself the best version of me I could be, if you like. That was back in sort of 2018. And then I decided that I wanted to go alone, and I had all these grandiose ideas of stuff I wanted to achieve and do in the industry, and realized I needed to leave the national school to do that. And that's not a slight on the national school, it's just the independence I needed. So I left them in the summer of 2019, and then COVID hit in the beginning of 2020. So at that point, I kind of changed, tapped a little bit, and I put almost like a protective bubble around my students. And I just created all these resources for them. So I had their own Facebook group where I used to go live every week. This is during lockdowns, I'm referring to in particular. Yeah. And I got guest speakers coming in. So I had like psychotherapists coming in and I can't think who else, but you know, people like that, to give them tips on managing nerves and what to eat before a driving test. And I thought, this is really gold. It's gold stuff. Yeah. I need to do something with this. And then I did some new things. So I called that the Fairy Test Challenge. So I created a Facebook group for a Fairy Test Challenge where I'd do a live every night for a week and take on different parts of their theory. And that was done partly to get new learners in and stuff like that. And that was the most fun I've had. Probably one of the most successful things I've done, not in terms of generating like an income, but in terms of just the quality of product I was putting out. And that led me to do the 5 Minute Theory podcast, which is 5 minutes of theory goodness to help learners actually understand the theory and help put them on the right direction. And then I decided to do the same for instructors because, and I mean, no offense to anyone at all when I say this, but what I wanted wasn't out there.
Yeah.
So I decided to create. And then that was the instructor podcast, which then led on to things like the premium. It led to me writing in magazines. It's led to me producing other people's podcasts, and it's led to me presenting at the Intelligent Instructor and ADINJC Expos, and culminated massively in me appearing on the Excel podcast.
Oh dear. Where next then? This is the pinnacle.
This is the pinnacle. This is it. There is no more podcast after this.
Oh dear. Right. I'm speechless now. I better end there. So, and how much of what's developed has sort of been, this is a good idea where I want to go, or how much of it have you sort of stumbled into and then realized, I suppose the question really is, how much of it, the additional stuff and the other branches was planned, or was it just, as you say, some of it just, this is a good idea, let's try it?
It's a good question. I'm not necessarily sure any of it was stumbled across.
Yeah.
I think that there are some things that I saw, like, I like that, I'm going to go and try that. So it wasn't necessarily planned, but it was, that looks good. I mean, the example I'll use is Project Edward. And as we're recording this, they've just finished their big week of action. And I love what they stand for. So I got the founder of that, James Luckhurst, on the podcast. I think it was way back on season one, actually. And we just connected. And immediately he wanted me to come and do some work with them. So that came about because I got him on the podcast. You know, so it's like one thing leads to another.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't put yourself out there, if you don't make those steps, and the things won't follow on from that.
Yeah. So one thing that I did mention to you when I sent you some sort of blurb about what we could talk about was the role of the podcast within the industry. And I suppose part of it, from what you've just been saying, is that you've been looking to do something different that wasn't there already. And do podcasts need to be different? It's something that I've sort of been aware of, and there's another question that's going to come on later that you've challenged me on about what do we call a decent number of people actually being subscribing or listening. But yeah, I'm aware from my particular position, I'm worried that this is going to become a personal CBD for me rather than, I don't want it to do that. But yeah, I started mine with very humble ideas of, we've got a lot of people down here in the southwest, Exeter and Torbay, who've joined our local Facebook groups, who didn't really know a lot of the other people, long-established people from years gone by. And I thought, it's a good idea. Let's get some people on so they can introduce themselves and others can at least know who they are and realize that they are human beings and that they're very approachable and will be able to help. And then it sort of moved on this season where, you know, as I was saying to you before we started recording it, I feel like I've gone to the headline acts at Glastonbury this season with yourself. Going out tonight at 5 o'clock is Chris Benstead. I've done Diane Hall. I've had Bob Morton on. I've also now realised that for the rest of this season, or at least two or three of the last ones, I want to go back to the roots and get some of the local people back on as well. And so I'm now questioning myself, where does mine go? Do I want to keep it local? And so I think my question really is, does each podcast need to have a sort of a different approach to make it so that people don't just think, oh, it's just another podcast?
So much stuff for me to touch on there. feel free to interrupt if I get monologue-y at any point. The first thing I would say is, you mentioned about not wanting it to be your personal CPD. Mine is my personal CPD. That's not 100%, but it's largely what it is. It's like, I want to go and talk to this person. I want to find out this thing about safeguarding or mental health or tax or coaching or whatever it is. And I'll learn from that. And my strong belief is if I'm interested, other people will be as well. The thing around the podcast now, all right, I'm going to make a slight plug here. There's a wonderful company that I'm not necessarily part of, but around the peripherals of, called Coaching for Geeks, and run by a lovely human called Robin Bates. And he asked me over there to do a very specific thing that we've called Terry Tuesdays, which is a go on where I give some podcast advice over there. And it's something I talk about a lot over there about, you know, it's your podcast. It's your podcast. You can do whatever you want. And if you think about how many movie podcasts there are out there, or only book podcasts or whatever, it's not, there's only so much variety you can put on it. Yeah. So the single biggest difference between my podcast and your podcast is the presenter. That's the single biggest difference. And there'll be people that listen to this podcast today, and I've already turned off because they can't stand the sound of my voice. But they'll love listening to you and vice versa.
Yeah.
And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. So first of all, the biggest difference is you. And I'm a big believer that if you make the podcast your own, it will naturally be different. I'm also a big believer in taking from other podcasts. So one of the things I do with mine is I do something called short lessons, which is every couple of weeks I'll go back to an old episode and I'll take like 5 to 10 minutes audio out of that and re-release it as what I call a short lesson. And I got that from the Diary of a CEO podcast. I forget what they call theirs now. It escapes me, but I think it might be Moments or something like that. But I'm like, that's really good. And when I release that, they never get as many downloads as the normal episodes. But I always get people messaging saying to me, this is great. This bit is great to listen to between lessons. I can go and listen to this 10 minutes. And that's not original. I didn't create that. Someone else did. So I haven't stolen it. It's an idea someone else has had. And that I've got, I can utilize this. And do we want to try and make them different? Yes. Can there be too many? Possibly. But again, competition, if there is competition, is a good thing. But I think the last thing I'd say on that actually is, you know, when I first brought this podcast out, I promoted At the time, there was Dipod and the Did yeah. podcast, which is now the Kit podcast. Yeah. I promoted them throughout the lifespan of my show. Consistently on the show, I've talked about those. Because if people don't like me, I want them to find another podcast that works.
Yeah,
I've always done that. I've always believed that. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, yeah. I know Mick Knowles will be ever so pleased that we've mentioned him.
His adverse promotion is making it. Adverse promotion. The current season I'm on now, we had an amazing human being, Hayley Field, came on to talk about sleep. And we were speaking about the negative impacts of poor quality sleep on driving, on learning, so how it affects learners as well, and that kind of stuff, and how we can get better sleep. And I spoke to her at the time, and you know, we said actually on the show, we said that this episode won't do very good numbers. It just won't. Right. We know it won't. And we kind of accepted that, and it doesn't. The best downloaded episodes always have the word standard check in the title. Always.
Yeah.
And when I first started doing the show, when I realized that, I was tempted to go down that route of make everything about that. I'm like, that's not what the podcast is, because also that's unfair on all those people that do listen to the sleep episode. Yeah. It's unfair to take that away from them just because there's people out there that are only interested in the one thing.
Yeah.
I have no interest in anything else. Doesn't mean that I should be caring for them. I'm catering for who I care for. And that's the thing when I talk about being your podcast. It's like, I know who my audience is. I have this core audience of people that listen, and then there are people that dip in and out that find episodes they like that dip in and out, and then there are people beyond that circle that will never ever listen to it because either they don't like me or because they're not interested in CBD or any of those factors. But it's how we create our show. It's our personality. It's our show. It's how we create. And I mean, even one other thing I'll mention, because I listened to your episode you did with Mick Knowles, and you were talking about batch recording and doing the blocks of 4 or 5. I never do that. Right. And that's not a criticism of anyone that does. I hate it.
Right.
I hate having 5 episodes ready to go out. I want to put them all out on the same day. You know, I usually record 2 in advance. At the minute, I'm recording a week. So, for example, this week, I've recorded the one going out on Sunday on Thursday.
Yeah.
And that's too close, really, because if something goes wrong, I then don't have an episode. Yeah. But that's actually the way that I like it best. No one behind the scenes, sorry, no one listening knows that.
Yeah,
they don't care. You're just giving them an answer.
Yes.
So it's doing what works for you in a way that works for your audience. Yeah.
I think when I started last year that I wanted to make sure that I had a few availables. So I was worried that I'd put myself under pressure having to, who do I get next? Who do I get next? The first few people, they're all local instructors, and all of them said, oh, golly, is anybody going to be interested in what I have to say? Am I going to be any good? The first one, I'll mention her name, Penny Hughes. She's one of the sort of, she's an admin of our local Facebook group, very well known, very highly respected, and she worried herself silly about what am I going to sound like. Then she listened to it and said, actually, it wasn't bad, was it? I did do my very best not to say to her, I told you so, but I think I did tell her so. So many people have said, oh, I'm not sure whether I'm going to be any good at this. Because basically I get them talking about something that they know about, you know, and I'm going to start throwing curveball questions out at them. And once they start, you know, some of them, it's impossible to stop, which is great because I just sit there and of all the 4 things that you ask people about what they are, I like to think of myself as a facilitator, which I think is a posh word for getting somebody else to do all the talking.
Well, I mean, my take on the guests and how I handle that was I kind of have the approach often that I don't care how I come across.
Yeah.
I want to make the guests look good.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of podcasters, I don't necessarily mean in our industry, I mean in the podcast industry, they're too focused on getting what they can out of the guests.
Yeah.
This is my show. You come on, you give. I'm like, no. you're coming on to give your time to me. I'm going to make you look good. I'm going to send you away with all this stuff that you can use going forward. And if they choose to use it, they choose to use it. If they don't, they don't. I want to make them look as good as I can, as good as they can. If I don't look as good in the process, I'm not overly fussed about that. The other thing that does for me is that takes the pressure off me. Then I generally perform a little bit better because I'm trying to make them look good. I'm less concerned about myself.
Yeah. Right. So moving on to that and making my guests look good. and another thing that struck me is the number of people who have been instructors for a long time who just don't realize sometimes the richness of material there is out there to dip into. And I'll take Bob as an example. I had one person, again, somebody who's been an instructor for goodness knows, good number of years anyway, who said, I just didn't realize what he's got available on the internet. And I think myself, and how many ADIs actually are actively involved in CPD. Now, we could then go into a whole can of worms, just what is CPD, but I think we're probably talking about going on courses and that sort of thing, and we both know that's not what it's all about. But it's just the lack of awareness of some people, just what is out there. And I am absolutely certain that there will be a good number of people who will not be aware of the fantastic resource that there is with the Instructor Podcast. So so people, because obviously they'll put the link into the notes of this later on when it does go out, but just tell us what is actually available there for people.
Well, just before I do, I want to touch on that aspect of people not being aware of what's out there and stuff and who's interested in CPD, because I don't even know if I should say this, but I'm going to anyway. The DVSA came on the podcast last year, and they came on twice, and it was when Amanda Lane came on, they actually promoted that episode on their social media and sent out the email to all ADIs, literally promoting the episode with a link onto my website. They don't do that. So I was actually really chuffed they'd done that. Now, if you think about how many ADIs there are that would have got that email, 1,000 people clicked the link. 1,000. So it makes me wonder how many ADIs, A, have the DVSA email set to spam.
Yeah.
B, don't read them when they come out.
Because it's from the DVSA.
Exactly. C, read that and realize that it's CPD and don't care, so ignore it. You know, so it's like, that's a minuscule number. Yeah. I would have thought that there would have been an awful lot more just through sheer curiosity.
Yes. Yeah.
So in terms of the number of ADIs doing CPD or consistently doing CPD, I think it's very small.
Yeah.
I think the other thing to note is that it's still only roughly 50% of the population that listens to podcasts. So it's not like, even if there's 40,000 ADIs, you're never going to get more than 20,000 listening, because I'm having to introduce people to podcasts as well as the podcast. And I think one of the big reasons, not just with podcasts, but with any training resources are out there, because obviously there's a wealth now, and it's a pleasure to see the amount of resources available just grow. I think there's a lot of apathy out there.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people just want to sit there and have someone come and give it to them.
Yes.
You know, they don't want to go to the expos. They don't want to go and search for... I mean, I try not to use too many Facebook examples, but I'm going to use one. I saw a post on Facebook not so long ago where someone literally asked the question, and I'm not knocking them for asking the question, but they asked the question, are there any driving instructor podcasts out there? Because I can't find any. So I went onto Apple and I typed in driving instructor podcast, and it brought up all of them.
Yeah.
So I went on and I put links up to the shows and whatnot, and I commented and said, just out of curiosity, what did you search for? Because I've just searched for this and it brought these up, and they didn't answer. And I just wondered, did they actually look, or did they just ask if there is any?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that a lot of people want stuff handed to them on a plate, and we have to do that sometimes to get noticed. You know, here's all this awesome stuff. So speaking of which, here's all this awesome stuff, the instructor podcast. Well, the podcast itself, there are currently, as of recording, there are 133 episodes. I think I've got that right. And there's probably about 110 hours worth of content available for people to listen to. You can find it on Apple, Google, wherever you listen to this now, you'll find the instructor podcast. There's been a variety of guests. I've had some of the ones you've mentioned on. I get people from outside of the industry. I've had the DVSA on. Massive range of topics, as I mentioned, from sleep. I had someone that came on that was a Tai Chi specialist, and I'm like, how? I was excited to get him on stop because I'm like, I want to talk about body posture in the car. And he gave some excellent advice. It was a brilliant episode. And I got people messaging me saying, how have you got this to work? How have you got this to fit into Driving Instructor Podcast? So there's a wealth of topics over there. There's all the social media stuff that I do with the blogs. And then I'll transcribe the episodes. I'm behind on this, but I transcribe the episodes so that if someone, for example, was deaf, they can go and read the episodes in blog form. Yeah. And then there's the instructor premium over there. There's currently over 100 exclusive shows. There are people like you've heard on here, like Bob Morton, but we've also got Sam Harper, Kevin Tracy Field. You know, these guys come on, do exclusive shows for us. I've got people from outside the industry. I mentioned one before, Robin Bates, that comes on to talk about audience growth and how we can grow our audience, obviously. Another amazing human, Sam Harper, that's come on to, not Sam Harper, sorry, although Sam Harper is amazing. Nick Oakes, come on, and brief aside for you, this is my favorite name of a podcast ever, because one of the things that I will give myself credit for is I'm good at creating podcast names. And this lady is called Nick Oakes, and she came to talk about SEO. So her show is called SEO Oaks. And I don't think I'm going to do a better name than that. And then there's other shows we do with a variety of guests. There is stuff on the standards check, there's stuff on coaching. Yeah. And probably the most popular one at the minute is the episode dissection, where we put it up for a vote and people can choose a previous episode. I try and get the guest on from that episode. I can't always do it, but it'll be like a group chat with the premium members covering all that. And then there's another tier to that where you can pay a bit more and you get access to what I call expert sessions, which cause a bit of a fuss online. Use the word expert. There's been two of those so far. Chris Benster presenting one on how to teach roundabouts, and Kevin Tracy did the latest on managing test day nerves. We've got Dave Shannon coming on to do one about tax. I won't bore you with all the details. But then there's other stuff around there that you get included around coaching and whatnot. I don't know if I've missed anything out there, but I think that's probably as brief a summation as I can do.
I'm very embarrassed to say that it's only this week that I've signed up to the premium. I have admitted that the main reason for that, there is a bit of apathy in here, down to the fact that I couldn't get my bank card to work, and I sort of gave up for a while and thinking, oh, sod this. But then eventually I'm in there now. And you say that there is just so much. And the great thing about it from my point of view is that I can pick and choose what really appeals to me. And again, like you, I've tried to find some things that are not so obviously relevant to the day-to-day stuff. We've got a local SEO expert down here who lives in Newton Abbott, about 40 minutes drive from me, who came on last season. I've got a Reiki and Havening therapist coming on. Actually, I'm doing her recording on Monday, who I got to know last year, and she will have an approach towards thing which will be of a similar sort of thing that Diane and Chris do, but from a different angle, and that will probably appeal to some people in a different way that Diane and Chris do. But it's a bit like all of us. How do we teach reverse bay parking? Well, you get six instructors. They'll probably do it six different ways. But in the end, we'll end up in the bay.
Exactly. And I think that's probably a good example you gave there about getting someone else on a similar topic. And it's like you asked, could there be too many podcasts for instructors? Well, could there be too many instructors? You know, could there be too many therapists? You know, there will come a tipping point potentially. But end of the day, as long as the podcast is quality, that's all that matters. Yeah. I did catch one the other day. I'm not going to name it, but it's new. And it's abysmal.
Yeah.
Just some of the stuff that was being put out there was atrocious.
Is that the police just coming for you?
slightly unprofessional. I've got my window open because it's that hot in this flat at the minute. And you didn't want me sat here topless. No one needs that.
Well, are we doing video? Oh, yeah, so we are. sorry, I was just at the police racing past at that point. I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. I just think that there's nothing wrong with a mixture. And I think the best people generally tend to support each other.
Yeah,
it's usually the people that don't that tend to be the outliers.
Yeah. Something went through my mind then, and that police siren has taken it straight out again. Oh, I know what it was. It was this bit you were talking about experts, and I know there was the bit about why is Chris Benstead an expert on roundabouts? And there was another one, because you're doing one with six of the best, aren't you? And somebody put a post on, why are these the six best? And I thought, read it properly. That's not what it says.
Yep. Six of the best. And it makes me chuckle, actually, because I kind of like the negativity I get sometimes, because I think it shows those people up more than it shows me up.
Yes.
You know, that expert session I mentioned, there was an awful lot of online negativity about that. Now, the first thing I want to say is I want to thank them, because that drew up promotion like I've never had promotion. There were people that signed up to that because they openly said, I only found about this because I saw this person complaining about it. And they've come on and loved it. But I just can't get my head around why someone would go, oh, that person's selling a product that I don't have to pay for. I don't have to go and watch. I can block him if I want. But I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and moan and whine and kick off and throw a little tantrum over it. I can't get my head around that. And my general thing seems to be, I'm going to put my time and my energy into the things that deserve it, and those people don't.
Yeah.
And they make me laugh sometimes. And I like that second example you've got. You just had to read it. I never said these six best. I said six of the best. And let's face it, I'm not going to say I've got six mediocre instructors on. It's not a great selling point, is it?
I don't know. Phil Cowley would love that. You know, one of the ones from down here. I just find it amazing when people just feel they have to say something for the sake of saying it. And why?
There is a way to be negative. I mean, look at me just now. I just complained about another podcast. I didn't name it. I've spoken to the guy. I dropped him a message and said, I'm not overly keen on this stuff you're doing. Just to let you know, I'm not going to go and badmouth you publicly. You know, say I've not named them doing it. I've not named the podcast. I think there's a way to go about things. And if I genuinely had a problem with what someone was doing, I would either just ignore it.
Yeah.
Or speak to them. I would find out more before I went and publicly tried to destroy someone's business.
Yeah.
And as much as I say it's sort of water for duck's back, you know, I got called, I got accused of hoodwinking people. That was a phrase that we used, and I can remember that. So it stuck with me. There is no hoodwinking going on. I've literally created a presentation that somebody else asked me to create. One of my members said, could you create this thing on roundabouts? And I'm like, I can, but I don't think I could do it. Who do I know that could do it? I think Chris Benson would be awesome at that. And he went and put an awful lot of time and effort into creating this presentation. And it was excellent. And we got so much good feedback from it. And I just think there's a way to complain about stuff without just being a bit of a knob.
Yeah. 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 We have, because Alison Harper, who does our social media now, she puts up a theory test question every Wednesday, and the one last week. We didn't have the fully correct answer as one of the options. We had a couple of people who, obviously Nellie Knowles, and I learnt this from Mick Knowles, basically I just put a reply to them. Thank you very much for your engagement and helping to spread out helping to advertise us or something like that. So I thought, I don't need to say anything more about them and go into any detail. It's a bit like when we get a bad review. We've virtually never had any, but I had one person last year who, because I had said that, and I stand by it, that she wasn't ready for a test. And she proved it, actually, by it was 3 months later when she actually passed. Then I got another bad comment on from this person who had put factually incorrect statements on there. I'd also got one of her family members to put a Google review on, which originally went on under a different name. And I just put on, I'm sorry, I don't know who this person is. And then she changed her name on Google. And I realized, oh, yeah, it's another family member, and I thought, oh crikey, am I going to get 500 of them on here dissing me? But I just put the facts back of what actually happened. Now, obviously, it's my word against theirs, but I thought there's no point in getting bad mouthing and getting into a real fight here, because I'll just start looking bad. So just put as much of a positive spin on it as you can and say thank you and leave it at that.
Exactly. And I think that it's really easy to get bogged down by those negatives, whether it's for your driving school, your podcast, whatever it is you're doing. I think that if you look at how many negative comments you get compared to how many positives, and the problem is a lot of the time the positives are more casual. It'll be what people say to you in person rather than publicly. And, you know, one that stands out to me is my premium content, for example. I think my retention rate for that, the last time I worked out, was 93%, which is incredible. Yeah. I'm still flabbergasted it's that high. But one person so far has complained about it, and he signed up. The next day, he cancelled and left. And when you leave, there's like an exit survey you can fill in. And his comment was, too much nonsense. And I'm just like, this is excellent. I was like, what's the nonsense? And when I checked, I part of the instructor podcast is I record the green room with Chris Benstead. And what we started doing for the premium was did the green room extra, which where he would ask me a random question. And Phil Cowley, who you know, had sent Chris a specific question. I think it was, which fictional TV character would make the best driving instructor or something like that. So we got asked that. That went up the day that he signed up. So I think what he's done is he's seen that and gone, not for me, just deleted it straight away, rather than having to scroll through.
Can you have too much nonsense? How do you know there was too much?
I put a poll up in the group, actually, the following week, and I think it was something like 25%, just the right amount of nonsense and 75% more nonsense or something like that.
I was talking to Phil. I was expecting to get a message from him yesterday because we managed to park next to each other in the local supermarket car park. I have a feeling he was getting his learner to watch how my learner was doing it. They were just sitting there staring at us. So anyway, so that's great. I think there's a lot of stuff there, especially with the instructor podcast. I hope I'll be able to encourage people to go off and have a look at all of that. So thanks ever so much for giving all that information. Now, you did say that you're not in a rush to do anything this afternoon. I probably will get a hint at some point from my wife that it's about time we had a cup of tea. But we did say... we might just talk as much in a positive sense as possible about the general state of the industry. And I suppose we might at some point come on to a four-letter acronym starting with a D and ending with an A. But give me your thoughts on any random part of what's going on in the industry these days.
Well, do you know what? Let's be positive for a minute, because there are some amazing people in our industry.
Yeah.
There's some truly amazing people. I'm not just about the people we see. You know, like you mentioned before, Bob Morton, Dan Hall, Kevin Tracy. You know, all these awesome people that do awesome stuff for the industry. They do so much that is, yes, admittedly, some of the stuff you have to pay for, and rightly so. And rightly so, you should pay for some of the stuff, what these people do. but they give a lot of time and stuff away for free as well. But not just those humans, the humans maybe we don't see so much of, just the really good instructors, just the people you meet at test centers that are pleasant and friendly and have a chat with you, or that'll drop you a message, or, you know, that you see on Instagram or wherever posting posting nice content, posting pleasant content. There's a lot, you know, and I think it's really easy to dismiss those sometimes, and I do it, I'm guilty of doing this, to dismiss them because there's also not negativity.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just want to give a shout out to those awesome humans to begin with, and I'm sure that's all of your listeners, Kevin.
Yeah, well, I'll take just a very, very tidy thing. I've got a PDI who we just had an hour and a half available to us because we couldn't get a learner to help. So I said to Vicky, let's go and teach me, or not so much teach me, get me to do a reverse bay park. And I've just had coffee with her today, and I'm ever so pleased because I didn't think she was going to join us as a franchise originally, because she's come to us from a national company who have rather left her disillusioned. But you know, that's another story. But she's so much more enthused about it all now. And she got me doing a reverse bay park, and there was part of that was she got me to do. I thought, I'm going to try that. I never even thought about it. And it's, you know, the people, everybody has got something to contribute. And whether they're people that are like yourself and the others, where there, as you say, quite rightly, there is value from paying content, to just somebody who almost gives what they think is a throwaway comment. And you think, yeah, that's gold dust.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look, this is slightly off topic, but in regards to a throwaway comment, I'm going to say this. I'd had a session with a therapist a few weeks ago. I won't obviously go into the details of that, but we did like a 90-minute session, and there was one sentence she said that I come away from, and she'd said something about, I'm going to save that to enjoy that later. And I'm like, that's what I'm remembering for that session. That's going to help me massively. Just, I'm going to save that to enjoy that later. Because I'm someone that wants everything now. I mentioned before about batch recording episodes. If I had 5 episodes, they're going out this week.
Yeah.
So I need to stagger a bit. And it's just little things like that. You say those little moments of gold dust that work for you. So just the amazing people in this room. And there's so many of them that give up their time. And I don't think I've come across anyone. Actually, no, that's not true. There's only one person I've come across that has been unwilling to give up their time. But very, very few people. I think also that the job itself is still amazing.
Yes.
I still love the job.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the, well, do you know what? No, I'm going to reframe that. All of the people I work with, I love.
Yeah.
You know, I've said this for years. I do not work with anyone that I do not like.
Yeah.
That it's my time, my energy. Yeah. You are not getting my time and my energy if we're not right together. And because of that, I'd love, and I have done since day one, love my job. Yes, I'm trying to reduce my hours for a variety of reasons, but even today, I've done a lesson this morning, and I've come away from that lesson going, she's learned stuff today.
Yeah.
She's developed.
Yeah.
I've developed today.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and you come away on that high. So, and there is, you can see there's a lot of positives in the industry. I think that, you know, there's also a lot of negatives, but there's definitely a lot of positives in the industry.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have a similar thing today. I have two PDIs called Vicky. One of them is as mad as a box of frogs, who used to be an ADI 20 odd years ago. And she went, we had a great lesson. She knows what she's doing. You know, she's got it there. And it's all beginning to come back to her. We're driving back. We're using her son for lessons. And I'm sitting in the back of my car. And we're coming back into Tesco's. And she used to go to Sidmouth College, which I used to teach at. Fortunately, I left before she went there, thank God, because I don't think I I'd have any hair left if I taught her. But she was taught by a guy who was there with me, as a good friend of mine. And we're just coming back into Tesco's, and I could see him walking towards the pedestrian crossing that we're just about to drive across. And I said to Vicky, can you get Harvey to slow down, because you're about to run Mr. Golding over. And she's and all she does is look at him and start waving her hands at him, because he sees my car, thinks it's me in the passenger seat, and you can see the look on his face saying, who the hell is this waving at me? And then I met the other Vicky, who I honestly thought, she's the mother of the girl who was the learner that was sent from heaven 2 years ago. You know, the one that just gets everything and just sails through the whole lot, totally unflappable. Her mum went to a national driving school, got disillusioned by the offer of jam today, and it didn't work out that way. And we've gone for a coffee today. I honestly thought she was going to tell me that she was going to, once she passed, was going to go on her own. And she said to me, no. I said to her, I've got a question. I'm not sure I want the answer to this. I said, when you qualify, what are your plans? And she said, oh, well, I want to come with you if you'll have me. And I was sitting there thinking, if we'll have you, crikey. yeah, I just want you. I know I've come away today from two sessions with people. I'm feeling, I'm going to enjoy my weekend now, because there's nothing to worry about. I don't think I've got one learner who is hard work, you know, really hard work in terms of his motor skills. But in terms of the conversations in the car and the rapport, you know, I haven't got anybody who I find that I don't want to go to the lesson with. And I think it's great when we've got work like that, that we actually look forward to going to.
Yeah. And, you know, there's awesome pupils, there's awesome students, you know, and I think it's all, I've kind of touched on this already, but I think it's worth shouting out the awesome resources you've got.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And you know, we might as well start with podcasts, because that's, you know, an obvious place. We're on a podcast, but there's four that stand out, and I may be missing some, there may be some that I'm not aware of, but you've got Dipod, which is the granddaddy of them all. Yeah. They've got over 200 episodes. You've got what used to be the Did Podcast. It's now the Kit Podcast with McKnowles. There's obviously Excel. Sorry. And there's the Instructor Podcast. I mean, if you clumped all them together, how many hours of resources are there? And that's all free.
Yes.
You know, and I prefer, my personal take is I prefer that stuff to video on YouTube and stuff. Yeah. I find a lot of that is a bit too flashy and, you know, it's too modern for me. I don't know. But I like stuff that I can absorb.
Yeah.
So that's where I go to immediately. But then you've got all this awesome other stuff. You've got Sam Harper, Diane Hall, Kevin Tracy Field, Bob Morton, the DITC, the ADI, NJC, ROSPER, all the acronyms. Yeah. And it's just, there's so much free stuff. And then you go and do the free stuff and find out then what you want to pay for.
Yeah.
And go and pay for some stuff. And it's so you've got awesome job with awesome students. And if you haven't got awesome students, then either you're not doing a very good job or you're not marking your school very well. There's awesome instructors. And if you can't find awesome instructors, you're not looking very hard. Go and find the right groups.
Yeah.
Find one awesome instructor and ask them to point you towards others. And then there's awesome resources. And what more could you want from a job?
Yeah. Yeah. So with a deep breath, shall we just mention the state of play with the DVSA? Right. Or shall we just move on?
Well, no, here's the thing, right? DVSA have a really, really tough job to do.
Yeah.
I always, conversations about the DVSA, I always try and start off the same way, which is there are some really awesome people at the DVSA. Yes. I mentioned the two people that came on the instructor last year, Graham O'Brien and Amanda Lane. They were so giving with their time and they were so helpful with me and doing the podcast and stuff like that. They've done some good stuff. I'm a genuine fan of the Are You Ready to Pass campaign.
Yes. Oh yeah.
I think that is awesome. And I think it's a great resource for students.
Yes.
And I've said this before as well, with that aspect of it, they actually have our back a little bit there.
Yeah.
If you're not ready for test, don't take it. We've been saying that for years. Well, they're saying that. However, they're cocking a lot of things up right now, aren't they?
Yeah, the press office or the PR people have got a lot to answer for at the moment, I think. As you say, I just wish John Sheridan had never retired because I thought he was fantastic. I was lucky enough to speak to Lindsay Loveday Ryder at a conference last year, and she was so positive about what I was hoping I would do, but it never actually transpired. Their hands are tied by government to a great extent as well. There are a lot of good people there, but they have messed up, haven't they, with a couple of things this year?
They have. There's a few things that stand out. So first of all, there was the email, the success of what was it? Success of 2022,
yes.
Which was just, talk about not reading the room. That wasn't great. Then there was the consultation, which was saying one thing, but then saying we're going to do the other. And, they clearly wanted a specific answer there didn't get the one they wanted. So went to do it anyway. Yeah. And again, we've got to take into account how much of that is DVSA, how much of that is government. Yeah. And then there's the fact that the waiting list is still like it is. So it's really, really poor. It's really poor.
Yes.
And, hopefully you get the impression from me that I'm someone that's pretty positive, and I do try to be. So I think for me to turn around and say it's poor is saying something. However, I am a big advocate of if I'm complaining about something, I'm also going to try and do something about it.
Yep.
I'm a big believer in that. We spoke about the negativity before, people coming and complaining about stuff. People have complained about episodes. I'm sure they've done it for yours and others as well, but why didn't you ask this? Why didn't you do this topic? One of my favorite ones ever was, I can't remember the topic, but I shared a podcast and the first comment was, this topic's boring, it's been done to death. And I said, have you listened to the episode? And he said, no. you have every right to complain and criticize and critique my episode, but you have to listen to it first.
Yes.
Come back with something substantial. And I try, I've contacted the DVSA, I've put across my thoughts, I've helped them with the Are You Ready campaign, I've and even we talk now about this waiting list that is still the single biggest thing.
Yes.
It's there. So as instructors, we know that's there. So therefore we have to adapt to it.
Yes. Yeah.
We can't fix it. We have, I suppose we can. We can all have the 100% pass rate or whatever, like they blame us. But we can complain all we want, and I do, and we all do, and I'm happy to do so. But we need to look at also what we can do.
Yeah.
So I can make sure my students are ready.
Yeah.
I can make them aware of stuff beforehand. I can plan their test in a different way. I've got a couple of students recently who've been putting off their theory test. And I've said, how about we pause on lessons, then we go again when you've done your theory, because otherwise you're not going to be ready. And there's all kinds of different things we can do to manage our world accordingly. And if we can manage our business better, if we can manage our students better, then we don't need the DVSA to do their job properly, because we're doing ours properly to accommodate. It's almost like driving. We have to drive to accommodate the bad drivers.
Yeah.
We're having to run our business to accommodate a badly run organization.
Yeah.
Really hope they're not listening. we can still take ownership of that.
Yes.
So yes, there's a lot of stuff that's not going well, but we can either, as we've said before, moan and bleat and whine, or we can be productive whilst we're doing that.
I don't think I've ever heard Bob Morton so animated about the DVSA as when he came onto my podcast. But someone who has been almost 100% supportive of them, he was beginning to question, just where is it going? And are they going to get any different response from us with things like the consultation if they carry on doing it in the same way? More and more people are going to switch off from that sort of thing. And it's not surprising they don't get a great deal of response when that sort of thing happens. And sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I stand by him on that. You know, I'm a big believer in what he says there, that if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain. But I'm genuinely thinking now, when they do their next consultation, is there any point?
Yeah.
Because what they did with that consultation is all those people that complain and say there's no point us voting because they'll do what they want anyway, the DVSA approved those people right.
Yeah.
So the likes of me, you and Bob or whatever, that will say, no, we need to have a say because they prove that they don't.
Yeah.
And I'm someone that's now thinking, should I bother next time?
Oh, yeah. Same here. Yeah. But going back to the more local level of us managing expectations, I read online this week a parent who wants to appeal against a test fail because the learner, who is a nervous person and didn't want her instructor sitting in the back, ended up with the examiner being monitored, and said, I want to appeal because we weren't told there would be somebody in the back. And I just think to myself, well, did that instructor actually mention that that could be a possibility? And actually, there's nothing you can do about it. You know,
I must admit, and this is me being completely honest, the last time that happened to me was one of the very few times I'd forgot to mention it to the student. And the examiner out was, so everyone else had gone out and then the examiner came out. So it was obvious for my student, they came out with someone else. And as they called the name out of my elbow, I met ribs and went, oh, I forgot to tell you, you might have someone in back. And, you know, they went on and passed, so I got okay. But we should be talking about that.
Yes.
You know, and it's one of those things, we should tell them, but we're also human, and even us instructors make mistakes sometimes. Yeah. But again, that parent.
I can't remember where it was. It's certainly nowhere where local here. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ultimately, yes. I don't care. It's irrelevant because the answer is going to be the same for them anyway. And I think this is part of the problem. I think part of the problem is the way. And this is my pet peeve now, actually, the way that instructors put themselves across publicly. Now, I'm not talking about every instructor. I'm talking about the industry as a whole.
Yes.
It's so unprofessional.
Yeah.
It's so unprofessional. And I'm sure we're all on those groups on Facebook that are for learners. When a learner puts up a question or says something, we've seen the instructors that go and snipe them. It's that's ruining our reputation. And, you know, I think that people can forgive a lot when you're honest and when you're open, but when you're creating this bad reputation for ourselves anyway, and then we turn around and say, no, this is the DVSA's fault, even if it is the DVSA's fault, they're not going to believe that. They're going to look at the instructor. And I think that, you know, there will always be people that kick off, i.e. that person's parent. Yeah. We can't do an awful lot about that. We just can't. We accept it, let them do what they're doing, move on. The thing we can control is ourselves, and we can make ourselves, put ourselves across in a better light.
And I think it's people like yourself and the others we've mentioned who are the ones who are sort of in the vanguard of that sort of thing. And I just wish more people would actually sign up for these things and listen to them and get involved in that sort of free CPD. And get away from the keyboard warriors. I think I've probably left more instructor Facebook groups than I'm in now because I've just got so fed up with the sniping in some of them.
I stay in them. I think I left one recently, but I generally stay in them because I like to see what's on people's minds because I can tail that into the show a little bit. I mean, maybe I go against you and maybe I'm wrong with this slightly, but I don't necessarily worry about wanting more people to sign up and more people to listen to it. I think as long as they're doing something, I don't care what it is and whether that's being part of a local association, like, you know, this one or whatever, whether it's listening to podcasts, whether it's, you know, attending the conferences, whatever it might be. I think if people are doing something, That's what I'm bothered about. I don't care if my show is the least popular resource available. Yeah. If people are finding things to become, run better businesses, be better people, and be better instructors.
Yeah, I get a little bit of feedback from these. So I don't expect to get a lot. I reckon that if I got 10% of the local ADI group listening, I'd be happy, more than happy. That would have been about 25 people. You know, and sometimes I get a lot more than that. Sometimes it's less. And I don't actually look at the figures anymore, to be honest. As you say, if one person finds some benefit from one of them, then
this
great.
This is where I'm going to contradict myself slightly. And I know this is something that you wanted to speak about, actually, was the numbers and like a healthy audience was the phrase I think you used. But
I think that, sorry to interrupt you, I think that was really more of a let's throw the bomb in and like the touch paper and see what comes of it. Because I'm not sure there is a healthy number. One to me would be healthy.
A lot of it depends what you're doing. And this is the same for, this is putting my podcast hat on for a minute, not the instructor hat. The number for me is almost irrelevant. What I look for is growth. Yeah. Because I do want to grow my podcast. As much as I say I don't care where people are going for it, the other side of me is like, I'm running a business here. I do want people to come to me. So if mine is irrelevant, then I'll take mine away. But while it's relevant, I want to grow it. So I pore over my numbers. I absolutely scour them. But the biggest thing I'm looking for is growth. I'll go right back. I've said these numbers before, so I'll say them again. When I did the first season of the podcast, I had zero audience. And this is what a lot of people don't realize about podcasts. They expect people to listen. If you don't have an audience, who's going to listen? If you just put a podcast out there and then say on your Facebook page, I've got a podcast, but no one follows your Facebook page, no one's going to listen. I hope this doesn't come across as critical because it's not meant to be, but I'm going to use Mick Knowles as the example. Mick Knowles was quite well known in the industry. He's got Facebook groups. He did training anyway. So when he released the Did podcast, he already had an audience to give that to. When I released the intro to the podcast, I had no audience. So Mick had already built up some of his audience. I was in the process of building mine. So I think season one, I think the first week I released two episodes and I got 20 downloads. Then I changed the way I measured it then. And so season two, it was taking me 7 days. So the episode went out on Sunday. By the following Sunday, the episode had got 100 downloads. By season three, that was Thursday. By season four, that was Tuesday. And now it does 100 usually by lunchtime on the Sunday when it goes out. The number itself, I don't care. It's the growth. That's what I like. Yeah. I do have a goal, and I will I'll state it publicly for the first time, which is I want 10% of the industry listening regularly. I want 10%. I want 4,000 people listening regularly. Yeah. I'm not a million miles away from that. That's good. The goal. I don't know what I'll do when I achieve that, whether I'll change it to 15% or whether I retire. I don't know. But in terms of a healthy audience, if you're influencing one person, you're influencing someone. That's a healthy audience. Yeah. And as long as you can manage the time you're putting in and that the benefits you get from that are enough. Now, those benefits could simply be you enjoy it. And if you enjoy it, then the time is irrelevant. You know, if you're after something different, whether it's a financial income, whether it's after... you're after growth, whether it's you want to grow your authority or whatever the thing around the podcast might be, the thing you're looking for, I keep saying it, but the thing you're looking for is growth. The same as you would do on a social media channel or a YouTube channel or whatever.
Yeah. That's great. Well, look, Terry, I'm aware that time's going on. I think there is so much in this that there has been with everybody I've spoken to over the last few weeks, the whole season. There's plenty to chew over, and I think we've given people plenty to listen to in all of this. So on that note, I'd like to thank you so much for giving up your time, and you know, I hope people, I'll prod as much as I can to get them, if they're not already doing it, get to the Instructor Podcast. I'm sure Phil Cowley will back me up when this goes out as well.
I think Phil's my biggest cheerleader at the minute. But thank you for having...
I'll tell
sorry,
you,
go
it,
on.
It needs to cut. It needs to come a bit be my biggest cheerleader. But he does do a good job.
No, he does. He sends me episodes. Listen to this one.
I've paid him well.
But thank you for having me on. I do appreciate it. And one thing I'll say to anyone who listens, I'm a big fan of feedback. So if anyone has any feedback the Instructor Podcast or, you know, this episode, you know, feel free to get in touch. I love hearing the positive, the negative and the constructive.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Okay then, Terry. Well, we'll leave it there. And as I say, once again, thank you so much for such a interesting session. So I'd like to thank Terry very much for that excellent interview. And there's so much information that is available on his excellent Instructor Podcast. Hours and hours of totally free CPD. But if you want to delve in deeper, he does also have a paid premium section, as he mentioned during the podcast. So please go and have a look at what's available there. And if you're enjoying the Excel podcasts themselves, can I ask that you do me a favour and go to our Facebook page and follow us on there, give it a like, and so we can actually grow the audience of this one. So once again, thank you ever so much for tuning in and listening to this, and look forward to you joining us next time.